This is MSO NewsSports.com. We're joined by Beverly State Rep Jerry Paracello from the city of Beverly. Jerry, great to see you today, and welcome to our website.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it. I'm glad to join you today.
Well, there's so many things to talk about that that are going on in the State House. You're the chairman of the Veterans Committee, Veteran Affairs Committee. So maybe share with us some of the items and bills that that your committee is working on at this point.
Sure, yeah. Thanks, Bill. Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'm chairman of the Veterans and Federal Affairs Committee, so we focus on veterans issues in Massachusetts. We have about 380,000 veterans in Massachusetts, about 40,000 that have served since 9/11. So we're trying to make sure that Massachusetts has the best benefits that they can provide to veterans. Recently, we passed a bill called a Stolen Valor Bill, and what that bill does is it makes it a crime for somebody to impersonate a veteran and gain financially from that. We've seen a lot of stories. You can go on YouTube and see videos of folks walking around the mall wearing a uniform, trying to get discounts or trying to get benefits. And some of these folks, it's clear, are not veterans. They've been called out by real veterans. So in November, around Veterans Day, we passed the Stolen Valor Bill, which makes that a crime. So we're one of the few states that has made that a criminal penalty. And now for the upcoming year, we're working on legislation regarding veterans housing. We'd love to try to improve housing access for veterans. At one time, veterans had a higher percentage of homelessness than the regular population. So we're working on issues around veteran homelessness and trying to make sure that every veteran is housed in Massachusetts.
Well, you know, the VA hospital issue was big nationally, now almost 2 years ago, I'm thinking. And what's your take? Have there been the improvements nationally for veterans?
I think we're pretty fortunate in Massachusetts with the VA hospitals that we have here. You know, we've got good facilities in Bedford, Jamaica Plain, West Roxbury, and we've got some clinics like in Gloucester and Lynn. But there certainly are a lot of issues with the VA. And I think there's just been a lot more claims that the VA has gotten than they can handle at this point. From the veterans that I talk to, and I go to the VA myself as being a veteran, the care is excellent, and people are happy with the care typically that they get. The problem is trying to get through all the paperwork, all the claims, the backlog. I also hear from student veterans trying to get the GI Bill, and there's a backlog there. You know, we have about 300 student veterans at North Shore Community College, a similar number at Salem State. And just trying to make sure that they get their GI Bill benefits to help pay for school, because that's a huge issue. Sometimes they're delayed. They could be delayed a month or, you know, a semester or more. So we just want to make sure that that backlog is taken care of.
Wow, there's a lot of things you don't even think about for sure on all of this piece. And clearly, I guess, the message is we want to take care of our veterans. And, you know, so if you could wave a magic wand either nationally or across the state, was there anything else that you would kind of say, geez, we really need to address and support such and such?
Yeah, I mean, we're sending veterans off to war, and there's a lot of talking during the campaign about, you know, combating terrorism. But the issue is getting the care that these folks need when they get back to make sure that we do take care of our veterans. There's been more cases. I mean, I worked when I went to Iraq. I was working in a medical brigade, so we were in charge of all the medical facilities in Iraq. And the survival rate of veterans now is higher than it's ever been. But unfortunately, they're coming back with some grievous injuries, and so we want to make sure that we have the capability to take care of the veterans when they do come back.
Well, as a veteran, as a Army reservist, as we speak, maybe share with us just kind of the things that you're involved with at this point with the Army Reserve.
Yeah, it's I've been in 22 years now. I serve as an Army JAG officer, which means I'm an Army lawyer. I enlisted as an enlisted soldier, and then I had my law degree, so I became a commissioned officer. So what I'm doing as a lawyer is I provide a lot of legal assistance to soldiers and their families, especially those who are getting ready to deploy. We'll meet with the soldiers and their family members if they need a will, power of attorney, or have any questions regarding issues, maybe if they have a lease and they need to break their lease or a car lease or a landlord-tenant issue. So we try to make sure that we take care of their legal needs so that they can focus on their mission while they're deployed and there's not concern back home about any of these legal issues.
No. Well, I'm going to switch back to the State House here, and it's probably the biggest thing that you guys do every year is the budget. And the governor in the last week has come out with his budget. It's a new governor, a new budget kind of thing. I know the process systematically is the same, but is what the governor did any different than past governors in the past as to how he's laid this out?
I mean, first of all, I mean, I think, you know, I think the governor does have a pretty good relationship with the legislature. I think he's doing a good job. And this was his first budget as governor. So I think what he's trying to do right now is sort of hold the line. You know, he's talked about no new taxes, no new fees, and the Speaker of the House has said the same thing. So we got to make sure that we have a budget that we can sustain. And unlike the federal government where they can borrow money, in Massachusetts, it's under our Constitution, we have to have a balanced budget. So we can only spend what we take in. So some of the things that a lot of folks focus on and that I like to focus on is the local aid, making sure that we have enough money for our schools, for our public safety officials, fire, police, and so forth. So the governor's budget does give Beverly, additional amount of money for schools and for local aid. Now it's up to us in the House. We have our chance to take a look at the budget, craft our own version of the budget, and we'll probably end up voting on that late April. And then it would go to the Senate, and then we have to have it done by July, which is the fiscal year beginning for Massachusetts.
Yeah, sometimes it's done by July 1, right? Sometimes it might not be, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've pretty much done it by you know, the first or second week in July. We haven't dragged it out like the federal Congress has done it, you know. So, because the cities and towns really rely on that money, you know. It's a good significant portion of their budget, so we want to make sure that we square that away.
You're right, and obviously they can probably plan on not getting tons of additional money, you know, in this day and age. But you're right, they're working on their budgets as we speak, and you guys are working on the state budget as we speak. Speaking, you mentioned schools just a moment ago and aid to schools. There's a new middle school coming to Beverly, so tell us about that.
Yeah, recently the Massachusetts School Building Authority approved funding for the new middle school in Beverly. It's gonna replaced the Briscoe Middle School, which was built in the early 1920s. Actually, my parents went there when it was the high school. I went there when it was junior high, and now my daughter is going to be the last class to graduate from Briscoe. So it's a school that served us well, you know, since the 1920s. But we are going to have a new middle school, which is going to be built in the old Memorial Middle School site, and it's going to be a great facility. The state is going to kick in about $49 million of the cost of about $106 million facility. So it's going to be great. This will actually be the last school in Beverly that'll be new. We've got a new high school. All the elementary schools have been redone, so now we'll have a new middle school. It'll be great.
Just to follow up on that, on the old building, is there plans for what to do with that building once there are no longer any students in it?
I mean, it would be up to the city council and the mayor to decide. You know, they could declare it surplus property and then sell it. I'm not sure if there's any plans at this point on what to do with it, but it's a great building. It's very, very sturdy. It actually used to be a fallout shelter, sort of be during the worst times, the old Soviet era and all that. They were saying that that's where folks would go if something bad happened. So it's a very sturdy building, you know that.
Exactly. Hey, maybe just a couple of other things. We had talked about the MBTA, and I had not realized all of this, but Beverly's kind of a hub a little bit for the North Shore MBTA, but yet there's a lot of issues around that, and there's five T-stops in the city of Beverly, which I did not realize, but that brings MBT issues front and center to the residents of Beverly, and that's a hot issue, is the governor has kind of tried to deal with that since becoming governor.
Yeah, no question about it. And I mean, like you mentioned, we have five T-stops. We get over 2,000 people that take commuter rail from Beverly every day. We're one of the busiest hubs. Beverly and Salem are among the busiest in the entire MBTA system. Obviously, last year was a mess with the record snowfall. And I don't think I heard from folks about it in one issue more so than the folks with the MBTA. You know, there was a lot of problems. And people pay a lot of money, $239 for a monthly fare from Zone 4 in Beverly to ride the train. And what they're asking for is a reliable service. They just want to get to work. They want to get to school. They want to get to a Celtics game or a Bruins game at the Garden. And, as you mentioned, the governor has instituted a fiscal control board to kind of try to rein in some of the issues regarding that. It's been better so far this year. And obviously, we want folks to have reliable service. They're holding discussions as we speak about a potential fare increase that could be from 6 to 10%. I'm concerned about if the fares go up too much, are people going to just decide, you know, that's it, it's too much money, I'm going to hop in my car and drive into Boston. We've already got notorious traffic issues. We want to try to encourage folks to get on to commuter rail and the subway. And so, they do have some financial issues that we're trying to control. We do give the T over $1 billion a year, So it's a significant state impact. I think some folks say we should do more. But, you know, if you live in Western Mass and you don't take the T, you're saying, well, where's my money going? So you have. So I think it's very important to our economy here in the North Shore and the Northeast. But I think they do have to kind of get their fiscal house in order.
And I do think communities like Beverly and Salem that do have the T coming through their communities are fortunate in that regard for commuting into Boston, because there are a lot of areas, you know, around the 128 corridor that really don't have that option. And although it may be expensive, it may be a pain many times, it's still a nice option to have.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, it is so critically important to getting folks into and out of Boston. I mean, Boston is the hub of our economy, and making sure that we have a good infrastructure system, good public transit is so important.
Last question, Representative Parisella, the opioid problem. Definitely something that the governor has addressed, legislators have addressed, communities have addressed in kind of a new way, I think, in the last year. And what tell us a little bit about your interactions with that issue.
Yeah, I mean, I have to give the governor credit. You know, he initially proposed a bill regarding the opioid issue in the House. We voted not too long ago on our own version of the bill. It's similar to the governor. Probably the biggest difference is that the governor wants doctors to only be allowed to prescribe a 3-day dosage of pain medication. We voted for 7 days. We just felt that 3 days was probably a little too short, but, you know, 7 days would be reasonable. I've talked to some medical professionals, doctors. My brother's a nurse. I talked to him about it. And they all told me that 7 days was a reasonable compromise. Recently, the city of Beverly got a $20,000 grant from the state to provide Narcan for the police and firefighters. You know, that's the drug that'll help if there's an overdose victim, bring them back to life. You know, it's unfortunate that we need to have those kind of medications available to our first responders, but I think there is an understanding and awareness that, you know, opioid abuse is a huge issue in Massachusetts, and we're trying to tackle it.
Well, we've covered a lot of different issues. Is there anything else you want to share with us at this point?
I just appreciate you taking the time to meet with me, and I had a chance to talk to the folks. Really appreciate it very much.
Great. Well, that's Representative Jerry Parisella, from the 6th Essex District, state representative from Beverly. I'm Bill Newell, and this is MSO, newsports.com.